It's Tuesday, 20 December, and there's only 4 shopping days left until Christmas, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast. Strap in, everyone. Here it comes.
Podcasting to the world from the islands where the tech winds blow. It's Geek News Central with Todd Cochran. Geek News Central, with the latest news from the podcasting universe and the world of tech. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Now, from Honolulu, Hawaii, Geek News Central with Todd Cochran. Sponsored by GoDaddy.com.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. I am Todd Cochran, your host. And how is everyone? Is everyone having all kinds of nice Christmas parties? Are you getting off work early? Or is it just as crazy as ever? I think things have actually slowed down here a little bit, and I'm actually enjoying the holidays. And that's saying a lot. I tell you, it's been just an amazing year, and you all have made it really, really amazing. You really have. So, hey, thanks to all of you that are the long-term subscribers to the show. Thanks for staying subscribed and being with us, and for those of you that are checking us out for the very first time, make sure that you visit the Geek News Central website at geeknewscentral.com. Sign up for the mailing list where you can get the show notes delivered in your inbox first thing after the show. And also, make sure you check out all the archive podcasts. Well, I'm going to be straight up. I was listening to all of the voicemails that have came in over the last 2 or 3 days. Oh, yeah. You all got your thinking caps on and really got pretty creative. I was sitting here cracking up. My wife is like, what in the world are these guys doing? And some ladies are actually calling in too. So I said, oh, it's just, you know, we're running this contest and we're having a lot of fun. But guess what? Next show, I am going to give $127 away. So Christmas is going to come a day early to someone. So if you want to get in on that, 619-342-7365. I actually got some calls on Skype too. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get those from Skype into a recording so that if one of the Skype calls is actually the winner, we'll be able to play that. But regardless, we'll figure it out. We'll get it done. And hey, you know, it's been busy. Everything's been, you know, it's not as busy as it was, but it's been busy. And, you know, around the holidays, does everyone just get this hankering for special kinds of foods? I tell you, I miss my grandma's peanut brittle. I really, really do. But my mom's coming. So I'm like, can you get some peanut brittle from my grandmother? She goes, well, I'll put an order in, and I'm sure she'll bring it with her. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. Been getting a lot of interesting feedback from y'all. We'll talk about some of that tonight. And also, I kind of want to relate this to you. My son's birthday was last week, but we had a family gathering for him and a little bit of a party on Saturday. It was just kind of an excuse to have the party over. That's, you know, it's kind of what we do. And you have a family gathering here in Hawaii, just if the wind blows the right way. And so we had everybody over for dinner. And some of the aunties had not been here since our ghost incidents. So I took them through the house and explained where the ghost incidents happened. And for those of you that have not been listening to the show for a long time, essentially what happened was sometime real early in the year, we had a picture that essentially would have been impossible to fall off the wall, which did, and fell in a certain way that was pretty spooky, and it would happen late at night when nothing was going on. And the second thing, I guess, was my wife and my son were downstairs in the morning, and my son turned and looked upstairs and asked for dad. And of course, I was already gone for work, and I heard footsteps in the upper stairs. Now, I live in a townhouse, so the house next to us, though, was empty. There was nobody in that house, and nobody was in there doing maintenance or anything. So My wife was pretty freaked out about that. And then the last incident was the event where we were watching Chris Angel, and he had a I think we had recorded it on DVR, and he had had that one of those deals where he was going to be buried alive in a inside a actual a homemade casket or whatever it was. They poured concrete on him or something. I don't remember what they did. Buried him in dirt. But anyway, I had said to my wife that I remember some magician in the past had died and doing that stunt. And when the second I said died, there was this chime that hangs on our door, on ex actually a closet door that started swinging and ding the ding, ding dong, ding dong. And we both were pretty freaked out. But of course, you know, the living here in Ford Island, with all the events that happened during World War II, and the Utah being very close to us, and also, you know, essentially from if you do a straight line from the Utah over to the Arizona Memorial, and it's almost straight through the area where we live in, you know, almost exactly. And so my aunties and stuff were speculating that we're on some beaten path here, that we're getting the houses in the way. I'm getting chicken skin sitting here talking about it. But anyway, the haven't had no incidents lately. Everything's good. But so they wanted to go on the tour and wanted to see where all this stuff happened in the house. And of course, everyone had a remedy. And but it was fun, a lot of fun talking to them about it. And my daughter had a little Christmas recital today. She got to sing in a little Christmas program. It was kind of fun. And she had a good time, so Dad had the camera and video camera and took lots of pictures and all that stuff. But spent the weekend working on podcast listings with the different and various podcast directories out there. And I tell you, I really wish that the, and I think there's like 25 different podcast directories out there now. All of them want something just a little different. I don't understand why. None of there's a few of them that have gotten smart. You just enter your RSS feed and it just imports all your data automatically, grabs your graphics. You know, it's smart, it does it. But many of the sites, and one of them I was really just irritated with was Podcast Pickle. A couple others would made it real hard to add. You know, I don't understand if these guys are gonna have these sites, why don't they make it easier for just, you know, for podcasters to add it? And I tell you what, someone wants to come up with a cool service, create a service that has a submission thing where we can submit to all these directories without having to go and do them one by one by one by one. Because essentially what we're doing is, as the we know the podcasters over at Podcaster News have done a few shows and looks like they're going to be doing it on a regular basis, then we go through and submit them to the directories, and we created some gouge form to go and do some of the subdirectories that we don't really want to spend hours and hours doing. But I spent quite a bit of time Saturday doing that and answering email. So I did get kind of stuck in the house, did get some shopping done, but otherwise pretty relaxed time for getting ready for Christmas here. And I know the rest of you are too, and many of you I'm sure are already on vacation or on the road. I did not take any vacation this Christmas holiday period. I got my job's pretty cool, so I'm able to get you know, to work a regular work shift now, and I have to be stressing too hard. But let's see, what else have I got on my little tasker list here for tonight? All right, I think I've covered everything. Let's save you some money. This is hot. GoDaddy now has free hosting with every domain. Register, transfer, or renew a domain name with GoDaddy, and you'll get free ad-supported web hosting, a five-page site builder, and professionally designed templates. Complete emails also included. Enter the code Todd, T-O-D-D, when you check out, and you can save an additional 10% on any order. Now, I tell you what, you can tell that the holidays are getting real close because a lot of the tech news is really starting to really be really slow. Not a lot of good discussions going on. You can tell everybody's kind of, you know, they're on the holiday routine, as they would say. But we're doing, we decided to kind of, and even with the tech podcast guys, we've been kind of running. Some of the guys are going on vacation, running a little slow, and I decided I record every week tech podcast this week, and it's basically a review of what's going on with the tech podcast group, and what's coming up in the shows or something that's happened already in some of the previous shows. And I've decided to expand that program where the podcasters at techpodcast.com are going to be submitting audio clips. So they're going to be spending like their a couple minutes. I told them, I said, like, 2 30-minute, 2.5 minutes is what I'm going to give you for max time. It can be a promo. It can be the best of. It can, anything that you want to do. So we're looking forward to rolling that out. I won't record on Christmas Day. We'll probably record the day after Christmas on the following Monday. But we're looking forward to playing around with that, and I'm hoping that that'll be a good addition over to Tech Podcast. But with that, we have GoToMeeting over there as a site sponsor. So here is our message from and for our promos for GoToMeeting.
Todd Cochran here from the Geek News Central podcast. By now, you probably heard that the Tech Podcast Network uses GoToMeeting to conduct online business meetings and training. But did you know that GoToMeeting is the easiest way for any organization to conduct online business meetings? I've asked Fox Show's Andrew McNeil what he liked best about GoToMeeting.
I like the way you can record the entire presentation, audio and video, for later viewing.
Sound too good to be true? Try GoToMeeting free for yourself for 30 full days. You don't need a credit card. Just visit gotomeeting.com/tech roundtable or click on the GoToMeeting link on the Geek News Central website.
All right, folks, I do want to thank you for all the great comments on the last show. It seems like the energy was up real high on the last ones, and you all just like, I think I received, I'm not kidding you, there was probably 300 emails that came in on the last show alone. Everyone had a comment about Apple iTunes. Some good, some bad, some indifferent. Some of you saying, I'm receiving just fine. It hasn't dropped out. Others have said, yeah, I've had to reinitialize iTunes a few times. So got a lot of feedback from you. I do want to thank you for all that. We won't be able to cover all of it at the end of the show, but I'll cover some of the highlights. As a matter of fact, I've got some stacked up from a week or so that we haven't discussed. But I tell you, I had a discussion over the weekend, had a little bit of, I'm big Firefox user, so I've had this, convert everyone to Firefox that I can. And, I get a lot of people that give me pushback. It kind of reminds me of the Mac / Windows thing where people are saying, well, I'm using IE, I haven't got no spyware. And I have this article up on my website now. It's called How Can People Be Passionate About Internet Explorer Anymore? And I've gotten some comments on the website, pro and against. And I guess, if you're not having any issues, it's, I'm going to quit harping on you. But it was pretty, a pretty interesting conversation because I understand everybody's comfortable and their creatures of comfort. And it's just like this show, there's certain things we do in certain sequence, you know what's going to be happening. And if I change something, I usually hear about it. So it's the same thing with IE. And I don't know, I guess for me, what's really sold me on Firefox is a tab browsing. I use it continuously. And I don't know how I could do my surfing the internet without tab browsing anymore. But, I'll kind of quit harping on that. But it was kind of an interesting email exchange I had with some people this weekend. And I'm not saying that they weren't incredulous about using IE and that I was probably pushing too hard, but I don't understand why. To a certain extent, I understand why people are very comfortable using IE, and I respect their opinions, of course. And but it just, I guess, for a guy that sits back and reads news continuously throughout the day, and I see all these stories, it just makes me impassioned to talk to you guys about it. Hey, Google has a new thing. It's a UPC lookup. Now, what's really neat about this is that you can enter a UPC code. And what I did to test it was I had bought a stack of DVDs from CompUSA. They had a special on, $19.99. Great, great buy. $50 instant discount. So I got 100 DVD minus RW discs for $20. So I actually thought, well, I wonder who makes these for real. So I went in here and entered the UPC code. It was on it. Kind of found the manufacturer that does them and who they buy it through third party. So, I got on this UPC craze, grabbing everything in the office that had a UPC code on it and was looking it up. I thought, this is pretty awesome, And they've had this service, obviously, in Japan for a while, but the Japanese take it to a next level. They allow you to use your cell phone to take a picture of a UPC or enter the number in, and then what it will do is it will give you a listing of, and we've talked about this before, give you a listing of stores that are selling that item or online sites and a price. If Google wants to really kick this thing up a notch, go ahead and give me the top 10 prices on a sidebar with reputable dealers, people that have, you know, I don't want to have one of these fly-by-night camera shop people that we've talked about, but I want to be able to find reputable links to online sites to buy stuff. Talk about a disruptor. I'm sure that you'd think the people that were having their book scanned would scream loudly. Imagine going into your local discount store and being able to put in the UPC code and going up to the manager and say, unless you sell this to me at this price, I'm going to go online right here and buy this product cheaper than what you're offering it. And thanks to Google, you know, you know, quite literally, you could do that. It'd give you some bargaining power. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. But nice that you can now, and you just enter the raw UPC code on the Google search line, and it'll take you to the manufacturer of those items that are in the database. Got started here late tonight for some reason. I had a meeting earlier this evening, and then so I just was, and of course with my daughter's recital, so I just got started late. So I am got the yawn, so I'll try to keep moving on here. Now, many of you have DVRs, and I know that we have absolutely fell in love with our DVR. I've had one now just about a little over a year, and my wife actually uses it a lot more than I do. She records stuff for the kids on it and then plays it back during the allowed watching TV watching time. But there is a manufacturer called Replay, and those of you that are have been into the big boxes, you've probably seen the Replay DVRs. They're usually right next to the TiVos. But Replay has agreed to sell their software suite. So TiVo was kind of thinking about doing this, but Replay has beat them to the punch. They're going to be offering a software package along with a tuner card that will be for your PC. So you're going to be able to actually have functionality of the Replay player built right into your PC. Now, for a long time, you've been able to buy TV tuner cards and third-party software that would do the same thing, but you're going to get all the functionality of their software application at the fingertips of your desktop. So pretty cool. Pretty cool thing on Replay's part. Kind of wish TiVo would do that, but, you know, they're into selling set-top boxes, you know, and I think Replay is maybe they've kind of figured out, well, they've gotten beat in that department, so we need to salvage our business model a little bit. Let's go on the software route. So we'll see what happens, and we'll see if they deliver cards that we're going to be able to have some great functionality. Okay, I've got a whole bunch of stuff here. What else have I got? I talked about that. Okay, for those of you that run websites, there's an article out on news.com that talks about a better way to count clicks. And what I mean here is that, you know, many times when you ask someone, what kind of traffic is your site getting? And they said, they'll give you a number. Okay, so I always follow that up by, is that unique page views? Is that, you know, there's a whole bunch of factors that go into what type of traffic your site's really seeing. You know, many times, a lot of the, especially the web-based applications will actually read the JPEG loads and, you know, give you all these extra stats that kind of skews the actual numbers of unique page loads versus the type of items they're loading and how you've got them queued up in on your website and how you've got it, how it's pulling the data, essentially. So they're coming up with a standard, and it's going to cause companies to have to rethink their strategies a little bit. And if you are if you have a website that has a high amount of traffic and you're worried about losing advertising revenue when this new standard comes out, you're going to want to check this article over at news.com. I've been following a lot of the developments from Dave Weiner's site and some of the things he's been talking about with his OPML editor. There was an interesting thread that started 2 days ago when the TypePad service was down, where he thought that it would be very important for people to have their database stuff automatically exported to another secondary service. So, for example, like I'm using Movable Type. It has an export function. I'm able to pull stuff out of the database relatively easy and keep a backup personally. But I don't do that. I might do that every 2 or 3 days. I don't have it set. Actually, now I have it set up to run a cron so that the cron job backs up the MySQL database. and actually drops it into another server. But here we have a situation where if you are a TypePad user and your site just went away and you had it backed up, what would have happened if they would have lost those hard drives, had bad backups? So there's a discussion going on now on a common export format. And I hope that I've seen a little bit of discussion from Mobile Anal Dash talking in the comment sections that movable type's always been exportable. But I hope that the movable type folks get on board, as the WordPress people apparently appear to be doing, to work with Dave and to come up with a standard that's going to allow a standard format export. So that, you know, this is a problem I've had with some of the other CMS applications, is I've had all this information in it, and then I went to move to a different application. I've had to cut and paste because there was no export function, and exporting the database was just too much of a pain in the format that we needed. So I think this is, I hope Dave stays on top of this and, you know, keeps hammering away the way Dave hammers away at people to get this common export format locked down. And it some services opened up, and you know, I would pay for a service like that that grabbed a backup of my website every night, and you know, almost essentially would have it replicated, you know, primarily for the blog data. So, you know, in that amount of storage, I think my MySQL database is about 9 or 10 megs now. So, you know, you really wouldn't need some concurrent backups where you'd have 2 or 3 in a row. In case mistakes were entered or whatever, but we would still relatively small amounts of storage. And again, because I've got a dedicated box, I can do it myself, but it'd be, you know, many of you don't have that option. Okay, there's an article in the Inquirer, and it's about that Dell is going to be putting a Mozilla Firefox on all PCs that are shipped to the UK. And there's been some confirmation that this is going on. Cool. That's all I can say. You know, I'm a big Firefox fan. Glad to see this happening. Glad to see Dell's on their bandwagon. Now, how many of you are PHP? How many of you write code in PHP? I do not. But there's a link. I found this link that has a list of good PHP tutorials, 20 different tutorials on PHP. If you're learning it, it may be a good resource. Looking at the dates on these, a lot of these were submitted within the last week, it looks like, and some of them are a little older than that, back in March, but good tutorials on PHP. Okay, I've been talking about my Mac for 9 months now, and I wanted to let everyone know that I've been using it a great deal when I've been at home. I'm trying to, you know, I've been accused by a couple of people of putting a smackdown on Apple recently and not know what I'm talking about. So I've been playing with the Mini a lot more to try to broaden my horizons, even though I consider it just another computer because it does everything my PC does and vice versa. And I don't see where one really does one better. You know, there's a different process, obviously, with each. But I went looking for a, you know, kind of a cool list of apps to use on the Mac. And I found a list, and it actually popped up in my RSS feed. I don't remember where I found it. I actually found it today. It was 10 apps every new Mac user should download. So I went through this list, and several of these I was not familiar with. One of them I was familiar with iBackup. I was familiar with Stuffit Expander. I think everyone is that uses a Mac and is familiar with that. And I'm familiar with the Windows Media Player. But there's some other things on here. It's called VLC. There's a product called Text Wrangler 2. Quicksilver all look like to be really cool apps. So I'm going to be playing with this during when I have some extra time. And I'll let you know what I think of these 10 applications. But if you're a Mac user and you're new to Macs, this may be a good starting a place for new Mac applications that you can use. Okay, I found, this is kind of on the science front, and I don't know, I found a bunch of weird links today, and this one may have came off of Dig, I guess, yeah, probably came off of Dig, and it's about a, it's this pretty amazing story, and I'm not a biology person at all, never studied biology. Did the minimum stuff, I guess. But check this out. I'm going to read the very first part of this. When the human body cells are removed and put into cell cultures, they weaken and die quickly, usually within 50 divisions, without the rest of the support structure, like heart, blood circulating, digestive system, so on. But apparently in the 1950s, there was one lady who came down with cervical cancer, and she had some samples were taken and were shipped off to some labs for analysis, and she eventually died from this. But the cells that came from that sample are a one of a kind, and they actually have continued to live and have developed and double. And those cells are basically, what they found is those cells don't die. They live on them by themselves, and they're basically immortal. And I saw this word immortal in cells. You know, you think about an organism that will live on its own and not age. Totally, totally amazing. So I read through this, and obviously these are cancerous cells. But the scientific community in 1991, and this is real stuff, folks. They actually have a name for it, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. What they've named the species, and it's used by scientists the world over. And actually, what the one claim to fame to these cells are is that it was responsible. They were used in development of the polio vaccine. So not to say that they were the result of the polio vaccine, but these cells were used. So if you're a biology student, I'm sure you've already heard about this. This is probably like, oh yeah, that's old news, Todd. You know, get with it. But for those of us that are not science majors, I think this is a pretty cool article. And I'll have this link up in the show notes, obviously. Okay, a little bit more on the Mac front, and I'm sure those of you that are Mac users are not using Internet Explorer anymore, but Microsoft is calling it quits, and at the end of 2006, all support for IE is going to cease. So, believe it or not, and this is shocking, Microsoft is recommending Safari for web surfing for now on Macs. But if you rely on Internet Explorer and the place that you work at says you have to use it, you know, this may be a situation where you want to bring that to the attention of your IT staff and also talk to the company that you work with, because essentially what this means is that if you're a Mac-centric company and you rely on IE for web-based stuff, it's going bye-bye, folks, okay? You know, the application will still be available and you'll be able to install it, but there'll be no more support for it. It looks like end of 2006. Okay, I know a large of you Mac users use Skype, and there's some over on O'Malley's blog. He talks today about, a subtitle of this says, on Mac, Skype sucks CPU, and he gives a screenshot of the CPU utilization of Skype during a call. It's all the way up to like 27%. Now, I know Skype can be a little bit of a pig at times when you're on a call, but he goes into this discussion saying that the Gizmo project consumes less than 0.5% of CPU power when it's in its idle state, and like less than 4% when it's running. So, this is saying something for software optimization, and obviously the Skype folks have blown it on this one, and they probably need to go back to the drawing board and get this squared away. 26%. If I see an application sitting there sucking up 26% of my CPU all the time, it's gone. It's going to be out of there faster than I can shake a stick at it. Okay, for those of you that have blogs that aren't widely followed, and you know you don't get a lot of links to your articles. You know, that doesn't necessarily say your content is not any good, and it's sometimes very hard to get noticed when blogging. It takes a lot of work. But if you've got a blog that you feel is very, very good and has a lot of great content, there is a second string awards, and it shouldn't say that, because, well, it kind of is here. And I'll read this. It says, the best of the blog awards are open. And one of the and it goes into this sentence, one of the things Jim Turner did last year was the start of the Best of Blogs Award, the BOBS. These awards are different. You won't see Scoble nominated for any of these awards. These are for the thousands of lesser-known blogs, the chance for someone to get some traffic and links and attention. We all know that there are millions of great unsung blogs out there. These are their awards, and the nominations are open. I'll put this link up in here. See what kind of categories they've got. Best adoption, best book, best cooking, best daddy blog, best education, best knitting, best LGBT, whatever that is, best mommy, best music, best new blog, best overall blog, best poetry, best adult blog, best sports blog, best weight loss blog, most humorous blog, most inspirational blog, and some other categories. So check this out on the show notes. Get yourselves nominated, and hopefully one of you can come away with a Bob's Award, a Best of the Blogs Award, all right? Okay, Technorati's been busy this week, and they have launched some new functionality to their website. They've got a charting service. They've got better extracts. They've got some better scoped-in searches for your name and related tags. And they also have enhanced profile information. So I'll link this up in the show notes. David Seffery, posted this. And, of course, you can see it live on technorati.com. Okay, found this on Robert. Speaking of Robert Scoble, I found on the Scobalizer site today, it says, Orb releases web voice messaging for Skype. Okay, he says, I just got a voicemail from Ian McCarthy, VP of Marketing at Orb, announcing V4S, the first software for free web voice messaging, enabling users to send voicemails to any email or Skype content. Skype contact. Works on mobile phones too. And he says, this is the first time I've gotten a product pitch via voicemail. I hope that doesn't become a common thing, but why not go the next step? Send to podcasts. Now, that'd be cool. Good idea, Robert. But for those of you that are looking for a voicemail solution, this looks like it might be a good one. Okay, so link to Robert's post to be up in the show notes. How would you like to be an employee at a computer security firm and be at the top of the game and one of being the leading provider of software used to diagnose hacker break-ins and get hacked yourself? Would that just about like devastate you and just make you hang your head? So it looks like these hackers got away with customer databases, amongst other things. So obviously the security firm needs to go back through and do a little security checking up of their own. Over the past year, I'm sure most of you have heard the term Web 2.0 more times than you can probably count on all your hands, toes, and on the tops of hairs of your head. Well, it seems that a couple of people who are very ingrained into Web 2.0 have had a change of heart. Russell Shaw, Dave Weiner, and Richard McManus have each declared that Web 2.0 is dead and/or that it never existed. Some people are not happy with their comments, considering that these gentlemen are all on the Web 2.0 workgroup. So, and top that off, Richard McManus, he writes a ZDNet blog called Web 2.0 Explorer. So I'm sure that this has been a little bit of a controversy, but, you know, Web 2.0 is largely responsible for some of the things that have been going on at Flickr, Delicious, Rhea, and, you know, a bunch of other different websites. I understand the comments Dave has made and some of the comments the other people have made, but I think that this article that's labeled Traitors in Our Midst with 33 comments pretty sums up a lot of people's thinkings on this and just is going to fuel the fire for the validity of Web 2.0. Okay, what else have I got here? Oh, man. How many of you are been shoveling snow recently? Now, it's been a few years since I shoveled snow. Let me think back. It's here. We've been in here, Hawaii, 8 years. Lived in PAX. It's been a long time since I had to shovel any snow. And matter of fact, I was talking to Andy McCaskey on the phone the other day while he was out trying to get his snowblower started, and he had a little bit of fuel problem. The fuel had, he'd had it running in the fall, but the he didn't get the fuel changed down, had a little water in it, so he had some frozen lines. So he had to go out there and do the hairdryer trick to get the fuel line unfroze. But for those of you that have got that little puny snowblower, you're going to want to check this link out. And this is for the guy that has everything. Check, this gentleman has created the V8 snowblower. So here's kind of the write-up on this. If you're kind of tired of just that, you know, anemic one-lung snowblower with their slipping dry belts, you might consider the V8 snowblower, which raises the bar on traditional snowblowers in every respect. This thing has got 454 cubic inch big block Chevy that produces 412 horsepowers, 430 foot-pound torques, and can throw snow 50 feet at just 3,500 RPM. Wait till you see this thing. I sent this link to my mom because I'm going to let my dad see it, because he's the type of guy that will be like, oh, that's pretty cool. I want one of those. He might even make one. But if you're looking for the ultimate snowblower, and they got this thing rigged up so that the coolant lines go through the handlebars, so that as you're pushing it, your hands don't get cold, and the motor's mounted in a way that the you get the hot air from the radiator, so you can essentially blow snow in Zoris, a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. So check this out. This thing is for real. It is really for real. And those of you that live in the snow belt that have been shoveling snow, come home with one of these, okay? And I'm sure the wife will just love you to death. All right, how many of you are still building your own computers? I know that I have for a long time. And I, you know, it seems like every once in a while I get the itch to build a machine, and I have to go on a motherboard hunt. So there is a new, for those of you that are not super up to speed on motherboards for PCs, Ars Technica has a motherboard guide. It's a four-part series, and I went through this, a very, very good article, and I think that you'll get a lot out of the content on this. Okay, what else do I have here? Oh, of course, all these sites, Business Week's got last-minute online shopping tips. And if you haven't ordered your stuff by now, you're probably not going to get it, even if you know, FedEx is even going to be hard-pressed to get something to you. Okay, I've got two more articles, and I actually was pretty surprised to find this one. You all know that I use Technorati, PubSub. I do vanity searches for my name. And I found a link from my name to a New York Times article. I thought, well, that's weird that would be, because I knew there was some stuff early in the year that was written up, but I linked to the article, and lo and behold, there's a, in the book section of the New York Times, is an article titled, "This A Selection of the Most Blogged About Books of 2005. And it says, this list links to a selection of web posts that discuss some of the books most frequently mentioned by bloggers in 2005, The books were selected by conducting an automated survey of 5,000 of the most trafficked blogs. And guess what? Okay, the number one, number two, we've got a Harry Potter book. We have the Da Vinci Code. We've got, what else we got on this list that are really, you know, that you guys will know the book right off the, oh, number 19, Podcasting, the Do-It-Yourself Guide by Todd Cochran. Oh, how did I make it on that list? I am pretty humbled. So I do want to thank all of you that blogged about the book. You know, it obviously helped add this platform here, speaking to all of you, and sales of the book are still doing very, very well. I do want to appreciate all of you that have supported me this year on that. But it was kind of cool to see the book there. And they actually got the title of it wrong. So I've actually, they actually are using the title on what it was originally going to be called, and I'm not going to say it over the air, but amazon.com/podcasting, you can find the book. But it's pretty cool to see this number 19. I said, who is number 18? Help, Mom, there are liberals under my bed. And again, there's quite a few mainline books here. So thanks, everybody, for blogging about podcasting and do-it-yourself guide. It was quite an honor to get on this list. And it's kind of an informal list, but it's still, I had to send the link right off to my mom. That's what you do, right? Okay, of course, what would a Tuesday show not be without Robin Good's New Media Picks of the Week, Shareward Picnic number 31? And he's got some reviews to some websites here. One of them's called Duban, Rolio, MXIT, Toto Express, Trend Suite Trend, ClickPress News Cloud, Windows Live Safety Center, Torrent Portal, which is a cool one. Task Orchestra. So check this out. Robin Good's selections of the week. Hey, guess what? We're at 40 minutes and I can get into show comments. So let's go over here, load that up. Okay, I'm only going to back up about a week. We haven't talked about show comments in about a week. And what I do now is, I get you guys send me so much emails. Just, I could do a whole show on just email alone. But I've just grabbed some out randomly. If I don't talk about your email comment, I apologize. I try to reply to everything. Some stuff I'm not able to get to. But I want to thank Richard King, who listens to the show from Yorkshire. Thank you for listening to the show, and I'm glad that you get a smile out of listening to my cheery voice from sunny Hawaii. Sometimes I'm cheery, but sometimes, we're all human. Okay, I got a real long email from Sebastian, who's in the UK. He's a media college student, and he's studying to work in radio or television, and he's into filming, acting, recording. Obviously, if he's a media student, he should be. And he listened to the podcast, and he said, wow, great show. And he kind of sprinted into doing a podcast, but he knows how to do all the recording stuff. He doesn't understand the RSS feed. Sebastian, send me your address, okay? And what I'm going to do is I have a box of books that I've got. I think I've got 10 or 15 books left, and I'm going to send you my book, Podcasting to Do-It-Yourself Guide, to help you out and get you started in podcasting. You're going to school, doing the right thing, study hard, my friend. If you can't, I'm going to send this to you right away and take a few days with the Christmas holidays for you to get it through the mail. But take this thing, tear it apart, use your highlighter as you would any textbook, and we'll get you the information you need to get your RSS feeds up. And if you need any more help than that, just drop me an email. I will say that the laws about copyright materials apply to the same type of laws apply when it comes to any other type of material. You have to ask permission to use it. If you're reporting on different articles, there is a certain amount of fair use guidelines. But send me your address, Sebastian, and I will make sure that I will send you a copy of my book, okay? Haven't done that in a while, so I'll send one off to you. Okay, got an email from Jim, and he's a constant contributor to the show. Matter of fact, he sent me a Skype message just before the show started tonight that said that Google might be coming out with their calendar program, some sort of a calendar, online calendar deal. So keep an eye out for that this week. But he also linked me to a program called, it's called RSS to PDF, and it's at rss2pdf.com/Flickr. Use the above tool to easily create PDF archives based on any Flickr newsfeed. The photo must be made public, enter information for a particular user on Flickr, such as myself, and or tag separated by commas for photos relating to a specific subject. Really, really cool. rss2pdf.com. Okay, a week or so ago, I started asking you all to submit to me what you thought was the most significant development to the internet, and I got a whole bunch of answers, and one of them was from Rick. He says, the most significant development to the internet is bandwidth to the people. The fact that most people are able to access the net through either a cable modem or with DSL line is really what feeds all the cool stuff on the internet. For instance, I wouldn't be listening to your show right now if I had to download over an old-fashioned phone line, and I understand that. There wouldn't be podcasts, BitTorrent, Wi-Fi hotspots, web video, iTunes, etc. without the ability of the common man or woman to have the power of bandwidth. It's all about having affordable access to bandwidth. It even allows households to easily have more than one computer on the internet at the same time, especially when you got teenagers. A simple and affordable broadband router allows multiple users under the same roof to have access at the same time. That is something that just wasn't possible with a dial-up modem. Hear, hear, Rick. Great. I really do agree with your comment there. I think that you're dead on. I got an email from John, and thanks, John, for being a continued listener to the show. It was kind of funny because I got this email and I saw I had seen that it was addressed to Adam Curry, it was addressed to several other podcasters. I'm like, oh, what is this? This got to be super important, and it was. And it says, "Dear podcast family, since May, I've been had the distinct pleasure and honor of enjoying your podcast. With many of you, I've had the wonderful and encouraging email conversations. I look forward to the next year and what it has in store for the future of podcasting. May God continue to bless each of you and your families, both during Christmas and the upcoming new year. Just one of your podcast audiences, John." Thank you. Thank you so much for those kind words and the comment. It's comments like that that just, you know, makes some of the late nights and stuff just absolutely unequivocally worth it. So I do appreciate the kind words. Okay, also I've got an email from Peter. He says, "Hi Todd, I just finished listening to your podcast and heard the call out for people to send in details on the cool gadgets they got for Christmas. I had just posted some ramblings to my site with some ideas on how to get the cool gadgets you really want rather than the socks and ties that your family normally buys. You know, you get some of that stuff too." And he puts out a link to me. Check it out here at www.gadgetsdownunder.com. This is a brand new site I'm playing with. Anyway, enjoy, and I really appreciate your podcast. A big thanks from Down Under. Thanks, Peter. Thanks so very much. And we'll put that link up in the show notes, gadgetsdownunder.com. And thanks for filling out the survey. It's most appreciated. Let's see. What else have we got here? Hey, I got another email on the most significant things that happened over the internet in our last decade. Got one from Tom. And he's got an interesting list. Number one is JPEG. It says, was not in line to begin with. Two, MP3, 90% compression is magic. PHP, I have written in Perl and that sucks. Four, FTP, oh, Xmodem and Kermit. Yeah, I agree. Number five, Lycos, nearly forgotten. Six, FormTag, seven, Cookies, eight, Mosaic, nine, Apple IIe. And, oh, I can't say the last one, Tom, but... thanks for the listings of the most significant things that have happened on the net in the last decade. Okay. Got an email from Jim again saying that, he says, hey, check out, you don't know if this is new or not, check out www.google.com/GLM/Gmail. Now you can access your Gmail message from the web browser on your mobile phone or device. Read and apply to your Gmail message anytime, anywhere. And, you know, they just put a link up in the Gmail login that actually shows that thing. So that's pretty cool in itself. Hey, I got a lot of feedback on my comments on the RSS icons, positive and negative. Got one from Michael, Tom, Jim. Who else did I get one here? I got one from, who else did I get one? I got one from Matt. There was a blast of you, and some of you were for the new icon, some of you weren't. So both sides of the camp, I see that people are still pretty passionate about this subject. Also, we have my good friend Kevin Devon has released a Christmas special over at Friends in Tech. And if you'll check this out, go to friendsintech.com/AGCC. I put the link up in the show notes, and It's a pretty cool little project. They've done a Geek Christmas Carol, and he's announced it on some of the mailing lists, so you guys can go ahead and check out what Kevin and the gang over there have produced. Okay, folks, I'm going to wrap that up for comments, but I tell you what I do have. I have a audio comment for you. Actually, I've got a promo for you, and what else do I have? I think that's it. That's all I've got for tonight. So we've got one promo here coming up in a few minutes, and we're at 49 minutes. Oh, amazing, amazing. Okay, folks, as always, thanks for staying subscribed and being part of our Ohana, being part of our family here. As always, send your comments. And hey, you got a couple days left before we make the decision on the $127. So 619-342-7365, or leave me a voicemail on Skype, or send a one. I've gotten some submissions via the Geek News promo, geeknewspromo@gmail.com. Some of you are submitting audio comments that way, and boy, you're all gonna have to get creative, because there's been some wacky stuff that's been created already. Yeah, there has. We'll have to probably play a majority of it, so you guys will get a kick out of it. But anyway, as always, again, voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. You can send comments to geeknews@gmail.com. You can Skype me at Geek News Central. And it's a beautiful 85 degrees here. The weather is wonderful. I hope you're not shoveling too much snow. And if you're traveling, be safe out there, folks. Be really, really safe. And the next show will be on Friday on schedule, just before Christmas. But let's play this promo and we'll get you out of here early.
Take your Gmail account to the next level with the Gmail Podcast. The Gmail Podcast will make you more proficient and teach you features about Gmail you may not have known. In just a few minutes, you'll learn tips and tricks that'll help you stay organized using Gmail. If you don't yet have a Gmail account, log on right now to chuckchat.com and let us know. We'll be happy to send you an invite. Get the most out of your Gmail account with the Gmail Podcast, available at chuckchat.com. You've got Gmail.
All right, folks, that's it. Going to leave you with a little different outro. We'll see you on Friday. Aloha.
Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.